This morning, we're going to be taking a look at our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 14. So if you brought your own Bibles, turn to Matthew 14. If you did not, don't fret. There are Bibles in front of you, and you can open them to page 820 and follow along. We're going to be dealing with the upbeat topics of pain and exhaustion, as well as restoration. Now, I want to begin today to give thanks to God and to you for my recent time away on vacation. Many of you prayed for me and my family while we were away. And while everything was not all butterflies and roses, the Lord did speak to me during my time at rest. The Lord sustained me in the midst of difficult situations with my extended family. And the Lord blessed me and my family with rest and with some wonderful forever memories. It was a wonderful vacation, and it's good to be back. Now, listening to that, some of you may be wondering, you have difficult situations with your extended family? Right, I'm no different than any one of you. Your priest is no different. I'm experiencing brokenness in some of my extended family relationships. I'm truly grateful for the ways that the Lord gave me his peace during those difficult situations, and for the Lord's guidance and for his answered prayers that were witnessed during that time. Life is messy, and life can be difficult, and you don't need me to tell you that. It's evident every day that we live, and it's especially evident when we watch the news, and especially in light of the news, the ugliness which transpired in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I just want to take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray your peace in our nation, but especially in Charlottesville, Virginia. God, I pray for the families of those that have been impacted by violence and by death, by hatred and bigotry and racism. I pray that your church in Charlottesville and your church throughout the nation and throughout the world will reflect your love and your compassion, that your church will be a testimony of salvation and new life in your name, Lord Jesus. I pray for peace and for healing for all those impacted, and we pray these things, Jesus, in your powerful name. Amen. Life is messy, and life is frequently painful, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. And this is not a new thing. It's been true since the very beginning. It's true even in the Bible. We read this morning about Jonah. Although, if you know the story of Jonah, he was suffering because he disobeyed God, natural consequences, but he was suffering, and he cried out to God. We see it throughout Holy Scriptures in the lives of the men and women, both who seek after the Lord and both who reject the Lord. Now, I love the Psalms because the Psalms expose the humanity of God's people as they reveal over and over again God's love, God's compassion, God's forgiveness, and God's mercy and restoration, all freely given and available to any who would call on the name of the Lord and turn to Jesus Christ in faith. We see the pain and difficulty of life through King David's words many times in the Psalms, but in Psalm 40 particularly, David, God's chosen king, noted to be a man after God's own heart, God's chosen king, and we see him crying out to God in distress. Where in verses 12 and 13 of Psalm 40, he cries out, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me, for evils have encompassed me beyond number. My heart fails me." You can sense the pain with which he's crying out to God. This is God's chosen leader, yes, struggling. In our humanity, the pains and wounds of life don't simply come and go, but often they linger. They stay with us. In our humanity, wounds from years prior can come flooding back in an instant when you see someone or experience something or even smell something or remember, you're right back where you were. Even when you've been healed and restored. Even when you've forgiven and been reconciled. Even then, those pains and wounds can and do stay with us. They're a part of us like a scar, but over our souls. They're a reminder of the pain and wounds of the past. And as far back as they can be, they're still with you in your humanity. Life is messy and painful apart from the redemption, grace, mercy, and love of God in Jesus Christ. Life can and will be at times unbearable and empty, but only in Jesus Christ and through faith in his name will life have meaning and hope that will transcend the messiness and the pain. In human effort and strength, life will continue to be unbearable and empty. But in Christ, there is new life. There is new hope. And there is God's peace. It's important to remember here that Jesus, during his life on earth, he was Messiah and Savior. He remained fully divine as God the Son, and at the same time, he was fully human in his body. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews writes this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." We have a high priest, a Savior, who's able to sympathize with us. Scriptures display the historical reality that Jesus experienced joy and sorrow, pain and temptation, everything that you and I experience. We have a Redeemer. We have a Savior who's able to sympathize with our weaknesses because he himself has experienced those, yet without sin. And we see Jesus experiencing the life that you and I experience. We see it plainly in our gospel reading this morning from Matthew chapter 14. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water and of Peter then walking on the water, the exciting focal point of our gospel reading, will not be our focus today. Instead, we're going to examine why Jesus had to walk on the water in the first place. So our 3 points today will be emotional pain, physical exhaustion, and God's restoration. So why was Jesus walking on the water in the first place? Because of his emotional pain and struggle. If you look in your Bibles, if you have them open, what story immediately precedes Jesus walking on the water? Feeding the 5,000, that's right. Jesus feeds, as Craig demonstrated last week, 15 to 20,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. He feeds them in a very remote and desolate place. So why was Jesus in such a remote and desolate place? That answer is found in the story immediately before the feeding of the 5,000, in which we read that John, Jesus' cousin, had been murdered. Jesus experienced emotional pain. We know that Jesus was emotionally impacted during his life. It's recorded. Most famously, it's recorded in John chapter 11, where outside of the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, in the presence of Lazarus' sister, how do we know that Jesus was emotionally impacted? What happened to him? He wept. That's right, the shortest verse in the Bible. He didn't just weep, he was moved deeply in his soul, we read. If Jesus was deeply moved with emotion at his friend's tomb, how do you think he was affected by the news that his beloved cousin John had been murdered by King Herod? Beheaded. I think the answer to that is he would have been profoundly impacted in his humanity. In verse 12 of Matthew chapter 14, we read, at the end of that John the Baptist portion, and his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. We read the disciples buried him and then told Jesus. So Jesus hears that his cousin's been murdered. And what's the next verse? Verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place. He withdrew. He sought to get away from everything to process his pain. To grieve, perhaps. To weep, perhaps. To mourn. Maybe even to shout at God. Now, is that so hard to imagine? Jesus being angry at death. I don't believe it's sinful to tell God you don't like what has happened. He was honest. That's what he was seeking to be with God. But as we read, unfortunately, the crowds realized where Jesus was going, and they beat him there. He went to a desolate place, and they were already there when he arrived. Verse 14 says that when Jesus came ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Can you imagine Jesus ministering solo? The disciples were with him, but they weren't much help at that point. Jesus solo ministering to every person crammed into a packed memorial arena, which seats 15,000, on his own, ministering to all of the sick, all of the needy. Jesus experienced emotional pain, and after spending the entire next day giving of himself to thousands of needy people, I believe Jesus experiences physical exhaustion. He had to. In essence, this story, the feeding of the 5,000, it displays that Jesus not only worked all day healing, but he didn't have anything to eat while he was doing it. He was emotionally shattered, and he was physically exhausted, giving himself to the multitude. Now, what does physical exhaustion tend to do to one suffering from emotional pain? Is it helpful? No. Tends to make things exponentially worse, in my humble opinion. Ask my children what they view in me. Jesus, we read here, is at the end of the limits of his physical body. He has nothing left. He's emotionally down and suffering. And what does he do next? That's where our reading begins. He's fed the 5,000 in verse 22 and 23. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. He doesn't get in the boat with them this time. He says, "You guys, get away from me. Go." Then he dismisses the crowds. And after he dismisses the crowds, we read in verse 23, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He sends everyone away this time and then goes up the mountain to an even more desolate place. He was already desolate. Now he goes further away to be alone, to pray, and to commune with the Heavenly Father. This is Jesus, the Savior, in whom lies new life now, hope beyond pain, eternal life at the end, fully divine, fully human, who experienced every pain that you do and every sorrow that you do. This is Jesus who models for you and me what to do when you're hurting, when you're angry, when you're grieving, when something in the now snaps you back to a previous pain. Whether you're emotionally or physically suffering, Jesus models, the one thing to do is to go to the Father. We don't know how long he was alone, just he and the Father, but we do know in verse 25, when he returns to the disciples It says, in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And historically speaking, we know that the fourth watch of the night would have been between 3 and 6 in the morning. So if the disciples got into the boat around dusk, it just says evening, then Jesus would have been alone somewhere between 5 and 10 hours. My point is, this was not a quick prayer. Jesus retreated from life to be restored by the Father. He had to get away from everyone and everything for an extended time in order to be restored, so then he could continue his ministry, continue the plan the Heavenly Father had given him. Then and only then, being restored by the Father, Jesus returns to his mission. And now he's restored and renewed, and we read, he not only returns to the disciples, but he walks right through the crowd, and he walks on the water. That's restoration. That's renewal of heart and mind. We read at the end of that, that all the disciples acknowledged, truly you are the Son of God. If Jesus needed to retreat from everyone and everything for an extended time so he could be restored, do you think maybe that you and I also might need that kind of restorative time regularly with God? Jesus didn't just bury his pain and his grief, his exhaustion, and soldier on. That's not the model he gave us. Jesus turned in humility and dependence to the Heavenly Father, seeking healing and restoration. When was the last time you separated yourself from everything so you could expose your hurt, your pain, your grief, your anger, your emotional pain or your physical pain before the Lord? And then allowed him to speak to you, listening for his voice. And then allowing him to restore you as only he can. When was the last time? Thinking back to the difficult situations that I had to encounter in my own extended family while I was on vacation, I was only able to endure that painful and difficult situation because I first took time away before I went. I took time to get away from everything in an extended silent retreat. Cell phone off, just me, my Bible, and my journal. Where I cried out to God, and I listened for God and to God. And in that time, God restored me and prepared me for what was next. He didn't take away everything, but he prepared me for walking through it with his presence. Only then was I able to walk with the peace of his presence, even as I continued to experience the anxiety and the pain and the helplessness due to the brokenness in relationships. I praise God that Jesus models how to deal with pain, emotional pain, how to deal with physical exhaustion and emotional exhaustion. He models the need that every human has to be restored, and he demonstrates that true restoration is only found in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our triune God. Some of you may have recently taken time away to connect with God, and if you have, I praise God for that. But for those of you that it may be too long, I ask, how much longer will you push down and soldier on through whatever is ailing you emotionally or physically or spiritually? Turn to the Lord. I want to encourage you to follow Jesus' example and put yourself in God's presence and turn to him. Follow Jesus' example, who himself had to depend entirely on the Lord. I want to challenge each of you not to delay for very long, because there's hope in the name of Jesus. There's restoration and healing in his presence and through his word. Don't delay from scheduling a retreat with the Lord. If this is new to you, call me if you have any questions, or if you don't know what or how, or if the emotions are just too raw and you want to process them through, please give me a call. I promise you, the Lord is faithful. As he restored Jesus, he will restore you if you will turn to him. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I praise God that he sent his Son as our Savior, one who has experienced everything that we have without sin.